So, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verse 26 down to the end of the chapter. And as you're turning there, I'm going to ask you a deep theological question. A very deep theological question. And if you have the answer to it, you just raise your hand, I'll point on you, and I'll pick on you. Okay? As you turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 26, I want to ask you, if you had the choice of one superhero power, what power would that be, and how would you use it? It's not which superhero you want to be, but what superhero power would you like to have? Just one, and how would you use it? If anybody already thought about this, you want to answer that question, just raise your hand, I'll pick on you. I know you young people thought about it. Yes?
Teleportation.
So
I can have to take something.
Yeah. Oh. Yes. Every missionary that has traveled overseas wish they could do teleportation. That would save on jet lag and airplane prices and everything. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? One superhero power. Yes. Ice, like Iceman?
Yeah.
That would be awesome in Singapore, but all your powers will melt real quick, won't it? Everybody be cool then. Everybody want to be your friend because everybody's going to stay cool. Okay, one more. Anybody else with one more test? Yes. Fire?
Fly.
I was going to say, in Singapore, you don't need more fire. Yeah, fly would be great, like Superman.
Yeah.
Flying like Superman. You know, that I used to think that would be a great superhero power, but then I started thinking, if you're flying up in the sky and you're smiling, all the bugs get in your teeth, you know. Let me just share with you one thing. If you are here tonight and you receive Christ as your Savior, you have a superhero power or a supernatural power. And every one of you who have received Christ as your Savior have the power to change people's lives forever. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before Jesus ascended up into heaven, His last commandment was this: "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is to happen all at the same time. Your local area, your outside the local area, the unreached people group, the Samaritans, nobody wanted to touch them. And then overseas. Okay? This takes the job of a local church and partnering with missionaries. But this goes along with the theme of, have I done my best for Jesus? This also goes along with what we've been talking about all week. Monday night we talked about, do you really love Jesus? And we learned that if you really do love Jesus, you will keep His commandments. And if you don't keep His commandments, you don't do His commandments, you're a liar. And then we learned on Monday morning that if you love Jesus, if you love the Lord, then you also love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? Everybody you come into contact with. And then Tuesday night, we switch a little bit of the focus about, if you're going to do your best for Jesus, you realize that through David, you're going to get put down, you're going to have to put off some things, and then you're going to have to put up a good fight for God. You don't. It's not about just talk, it's about action. This morning we talked about how to have a personal devotion. That's what the waffles were about. Your young people can tell you what the waffles were about. Tonight we're going to talk about how to share the gospel. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We just ask you, Lord, change our hearts and help us to share the gospel. We ask you to help us with the message tonight and see the example that you have given us. Help us to apply it to our lives. And I always pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you're going to give the gospel out, if you're going to do what Jesus' last commandment was, then you're going to have to realize a couple of things. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Now when I get to that part where it says Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, that immediately reminds me of my family's favorite cartoon, Phineas and Ferb. Phineas and Ferb has a sister, an older sister named Candace. And they also have a pet platypus named Perry. Now Perry, the platypus, is a secret agent, and his archenemy is Doofenshmirtz. Now Doofenshmirtz always comes up with some kind of contraction to try to take over the tri-state area. You guys know this one. Okay. So let me tell you the backstory of Philip. It actually goes all the way back to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. I'm just telling you the backstory, so I'm going to do this real quick. In Acts chapter 2, you already have the local church established, at least 120 people in the local church. And on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came and appeared in front of the disciples, they all went out and they started speaking. They all started preaching. And they preached in their language, and the people heard it in their language. And immediately, you had 3,000 people join the church. So now you have 3,120 people, or as you Singaporeans would like to say, 3120. Okay? I am learning that. But it didn't stop there. Because when you get to Acts chapter 3 and 4, you find that at least 5,000 men are added to the church. So you have at least 8,120 people added to this church. This is a huge church. This is awesome. But then by the time you get to Acts chapter 6, there's a problem in the church. You see, the problem was the widows of the church. Nobody was taking care of them. So the church people came to the disciples and said, "What should we do? What can we do about this?" The apostles said, "I tell you what, choose among yourselves 7 men." And their qualifications was full of the Holy Spirit and full of integrity. That was it. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of integrity. If you are here tonight and you feel or you believe, I don't know if I'm qualified to do anything for the Lord, I'm going to remind you that if you receive Christ as your Savior, guess what? You're full of the Holy Spirit. You're full of integrity. You qualify to do what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Share the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 6, they choose 7 men. These are the first deacons. The first one was Stephen. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't vote on it. They just said, "Stephen's our man." The second one was Philip. So this Philip that we're talking about in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, is not Philip, one of the apostles. This is Philip, one of their own peers. Okay? So immediately what we see, and then they chose 5 other men, and then by Acts chapter 7, what you see is that Stephen gets stoned to death by the time Acts chapter 8 comes around. And God used this for a great persecution against the Christian, against the church, and to move them, because they were comfortable in Jerusalem, and they weren't going anywhere else. So God used this great persecution led by Saul, who later on becomes Paul, one of the great missionaries in our Bible. And as he used that, people started scattering out. Some went to Judea, some went to the outermost parts of the world. Some devout men stayed in Jerusalem. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. But Philip, when you read the beginning of Acts chapter 8, he goes to Samaria for the sole purpose of preaching the Word of God. One man. He goes to the unreached people group. The people group that nobody wanted to mess with, nobody wanted to talk to, nobody wanted to go to. They're afraid of them. Or they just didn't want to mess with them. But Philip went. He was willing to go. And then what you see in verse 26 is, "Now the angel of the Lord spake unto him, unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." The first thing I notice is that if you're going to be used of God in a mighty way, if you're going to try to do your best for God, realize that God will give you opportunities. God will give you opportunities. You see, Philip could argue about this. Instead, he got up the next morning. He went to the desert road. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know where you've been. I don't know if you even have left Singapore ever in your life. But I have traveled to the United States. I've watched survivor shows like Man vs. Wild, Dual Survivor and stuff. And I've seen them in the desert, and I think that's a boring place. It's hot, and there's nothing there. There's camel spiders, and I hate spiders. I don't care how... You guys have these little spiders here in Singapore, and they jump. Okay? Nobody told me that. I've heard about the big spiders, but there's these little spiders. They're like black, and sometimes they're white. and they just sit around, all of a sudden they jump when you try to kill them. I scream like a little girl when I see one, okay? My wife thinks I'm being attacked by a giant spider or something, and then she comes in to, where is it? It's right there. She can't find it because it's so small, but they jump. I don't like them. But I saw Bear Grylls on a desert road, on a desert, and he saw a camel spider and he killed it and then he ate it, okay? He probably would have ate my waffle this morning. But that's not what Philip did. He didn't argue. He went straight to the desert road. Now, Philip could have said, Lord, there are devout men already in Jerusalem. They're more qualified than I am. They can share the gospel better than I can. That's what they do. I'm doing a great job for you right here in Samaria. He could have said, Lord, the apostles are still in Jerusalem. They're closer than I am to this desert road. They could possibly share the gospel better than I can. As a matter of fact, in verse 25, we see that two of the apostles had just been to Samaria, and on their way back to Jerusalem, they stop in the little villages of Samaria, and they're already ministering in those villages. He could have easily said, Lord, there's at least two apostles just left here. They can get to that desert road before I can. That's not what Philip did. If I was to put that into our world today, our present world, it'd be much like if you went to the doctor's office. Now, recently our family has been sick. We came to Singapore and we got sick. We weren't sick in America. We came to Singapore and we got sick. Everybody said it's the dust, it's the heat. I don't know what it is. We got sick. We have fever. So we made our trips to the doctor. Now, I noticed in the doctor's office, I will sit there, I'll look at the clock, I'll look at my watch, I'm thinking, I just want to get out of here because there's sick people here. I don't want to be here because then I'll get sick. You know. And sure enough, I did get sick. That's what we do. We look at the clock, we're sitting around, we're waiting around, we look at our watches. I see people on the MRT and on the buses. Everybody's always looking at their phone or their tablets. They're looking at something else. They're not concerned about the people around them. You know, if Philip was here today and he was in Singapore, if he was in the doctor's office or on the MRT or on the bus, maybe what Philip would have done is he would have noticed that somebody on the MRT, on the bus, or in the doctor's office, maybe they have an invitation to Heritage Baptist Church. And he would have nudged them and said, hey, do you realize that what you just read or what you just picked up is more than just an invitation to Heritage Baptist Church? It's an invitation that could change your life forever. Because I'm sure there's a gospel track in there. You know, oftentimes we miss the opportunities because we're not observant. We're not watching what's going on. We're not aware of our surroundings. You have opportunities here in Singapore. You have at least 5.5 million opportunities. You're running into them every day. Maybe when you go, if you have a vehicle, maybe when you go get Metro in your vehicle, the person pumping Metro in your vehicle, you have an opportunity to talk to them. You have an opportunity to invite them to church. You have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Maybe when you go to the coffee shop or you go talk, you go to hawker centers or you go to the malls, every time you see a cashier, every time you see somebody bringing you food, there's an opportunity. How many more opportunities will you let go by where you don't share God's love to them? Philip didn't argue. Next thing I see is that if God's going to use you, if you're going to do the best for God, and you're going to share the gospel, not only did God give you an opportunity, God's going to give you His Word. God will give you His Word. We see down in verse 28, this Ethiopian eunuch was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture was which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What I noticed is that Philip didn't sit there in the chariot. Philip didn't say, let me tell you everything I know about the Bible. Let me tell you everything I know about God. He listened to the eunuch. He heard the question. He understood where the eunuch was coming from. And all he did was just start telling him about Jesus. I share with you how my family escaped Vietnam when I was only almost 1 year old. I took my father's fishing boat and went along the coast of Vietnam, and we made it to Thailand in 1979 after the Vietnam War. The reason for that was my father knew that he would be eventually sent to Cambodia, which is pretty much a death sentence. And he didn't want to go to Cambodia. So he came up with this plan to take his fishing boat and get our family out of Vietnam. And as we were making our way to Thailand, he said that he ran out of diesel fuel. So he had a choice: turn around and take the risk of being destroyed by the ocean waves, or put up the sails and take the chance that you can make it past Cambodia and hopefully make it to Thailand. He put up the sails and we made it to Thailand. And at that Thai refugee camp, I told you how my father would go to the United Nations to apply for immigration to any country. But in the afternoon, since he had nowhere else to go, he had nothing else to do, there was actually a Thai refugee Bible camp planted by an American missionary. This American missionary, I found out later from my father, spoke fluent Vietnamese. And he was able to give the gospel not only to my father, but to other refugees in that camp. And there, my father heard the gospel for the very first time and received Christ as his Savior. And that's how we came to America. God's Word is so powerful that as you're doing your personal devotion and you're memorizing the Scripture, God can use those verses to bring to your memories and it can come out of your mouth. God can use you to share the gospel just simply by sharing your testimony how you receive Christ as your Savior. God used an American missionary to go to Thailand to minister to a bunch of Vietnamese refugees, and my father got saved. That missionary is now a pastor of First Baptist Vietnamese Church in Nashville, Tennessee. His name is Doug Kellum. I'm hoping one day, and I'm praying one day, that I'll be able to meet him and tell him, because you led my father to the Lord, God has made a full circle. Now I'm a missionary in Southeast Asia. That's how God's Word works. God's Word works so wonderfully and so powerful that somebody can go to a hotel. I know in the States, they can go to a hotel and there's what's called Gideon's Bible in the drawer of a hotel room. And somebody can actually take that Bible and read it and get saved. Not only will God give you opportunity, God's going to give you His Word, and God will give you joy. If we read down further in the Scripture there in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were both, come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You see what happened here? We don't know how much time they had together, but we know that the eunuch was listening to Philip. That when he saw a body of water, his question was, "What stops me from being saved, from being baptized?" Philip says, "If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized." He said, "I do." So he recognized that baptism was the outward showing of what all that inward decision he already made inside to receive Christ as Savior. So can you imagine? They stopped the chariot. The chariot driver's there. And they get off the chariot, and here's Philip standing in the body of water with the eunuch. He's got one hand behind the eunuch. He's got one arm in front of the eunuch. And he's fully immersed in the water, and he's fully risen out of the water. And by the time he's fully standing, he doesn't see Philip. Philip is caught away by the angel of the Lord. Now, the eunuch didn't stop the chariot driver, and the eunuch didn't ask the chariot driver, "What happened to that guy? Let's go send out a search party for him." As a matter of fact, what the eunuch did was he got back on the chariot and they went back to Ethiopia. And can you imagine what happened? The eunuch goes back to Queen Candace and said, "Let me tell you what happened on my trip. We met a guy who made the Word of God clear to us. And I want to share that with all Ethiopia." Did all Ethiopia get saved? I don't think so. But I believe a lot of them did. That Ethiopian eunuch is probably in heaven. Is in heaven because he accepted Christ as Savior. And God is saying to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because he listened to Philip. whose only qualification was full of the Holy Spirit and full of integrity. And Philip was willing to share the gospel to one person on a desert road. You want to know how to share the gospel with your family and friends? You have to be willing. You have to recognize the opportunities. You have to use God's word. And when that person receives Christ as their Savior, you get to experience that joy too. Let's pray.